Now tonight I want you to turn with me to the third chapter of John's Gospel. There was a man in that crowd of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that you are a great teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, and when you find that in the Bible, verily, verily, that means something important is following. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now I wonder, have you ever had the experience that the psalmist had? You've had times when you've said, Oh God, create in me a clean heart. Oh God, renew a right spirit within me. Make me another kind of being from what I am. I'd like to be somebody else. I'd like to start life all over again. I wish I could start at a certain place in my life and come straight through and be a different person. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus said, You can be born again. In fact, he said, You must be born again if you're to enter the kingdom of heaven. Nicodemus was a great religious leader, and he came by night. Probably he was afraid of criticism, or he had a desire for a private conversation, or perhaps he wanted to give some more thought before he committed himself to this new teacher that had come along. And there are many people here tonight that go to church that have been baptized and confirmed, or maybe you're a clergyman. But you're not sure that you have been born again. And the greatest need in the world at this moment is a transformation of human nature. A famous scientist came to me and he said, My home is a wreck. I'm a secret alcoholic. I've come to you for help. If I don't find it, I'm going to commit suicide. When I look and see at what we of the science world have created. Where we live in the mountains of North Carolina, there was a mountain man who was out walking and he got lost in the mountains, though he knew them quite well, he thought, and he stumbled onto a mountain cabin. An old man gave him some advice. He said, When you find yourself lost in the mountains, never go down, always go up. At the top of the ridge, you can get your bearings and find your way home again. We can become lost in the mountain of life. We have two choices. We either go down and get caught in drugs or depression or emptiness or confusion, or we're heading up where we find God. I'm asking you tonight to head up. Now, searching is important, but it does no good unless you search in the right place. Come to the Scriptures, come to the Bible, come to the Word of God. My father-in-law was a great surgeon. And he was honored many times for his great ability as a surgeon, even though he built a great hospital in China. And for 25 years, he was a missionary doctor to China. And Dr. Bell was his name. He said the most satisfying, rewarding part of his work was delivering babies. He called it happy work. And he said it's impossible to see a baby born and not believe in God. Now, Jesus said, you must be born again. That means you can be born the second time. But Nicodemus, this man, must have been stunned. If Jesus had said it to Zacchaeus, a tax collector who was a crook, he would have understood it, or the woman at the well that had had all those husbands, or the thief on the cross that was guilty of perhaps robbery and murder, or the woman taken in adultery. But to a religious leader. You see, Nicodemus was a religious ruler. He was rich, he was religious, but he was searching for reality in his life, searching for fulfillment that he hadn't found. You must be born again. Why did Jesus say that? Because he knew what was in man. A little boy, after being corrected by his teacher, said one day, I guess I was just born wrong. And that's right. We're all born wrong. We're all guilty. We've all sinned against God. We're all under the judgment of God. And so we ask ourselves, as we look at our world and read our newspapers and watch the television and watch the news stories as they unfold before us, what causes lying, cheating, hate, prejudice, war, greed, injustice, selfishness, cruelty, perversion, terrorism? What causes it? Jesus said, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, they come from the heart and they defile a man. He said, your hearts are wrong. Something needs to be done to the heart. And sometimes we go at our problems backwards. We ought to start with the human heart, where these things originate. We have wars in families. We have wars within ourselves. Good and evil are fighting inside of each one of us. But no one is a hopeless case. Now, there are many words used in the New Testament to describe sin. Three words, especially transgression. The Bible says in 1 John 3:4, sin is a transgression of the law, and it's missing the mark. In other words, God demands that you be as holy as He is before you can get to heaven. But none of us can be as holy as God. We can't be as righteous as God. All unrighteousness is sin. When I look at you, you look fine to me. Well dressed with a nice umbrella and all the rest of it, and you're dressed well, everything. You look fine. You look like a wonderful person that's on his way to heaven. But Jesus looks at you differently. He sees the flaws. He sees the unrighteousness. He sees the things that are in your heart. He sees the thoughts and the intents of your life. He not only judges you from the things that you do, but the things that you think and the things that you really are down inside. Then there's another word that's used for sin, not only missing the mark and transgression, but also iniquity, which means turning aside from a straight path. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Now, what is the new birth? Nicodemus asked that question. How can a man be born when he's old? He wanted to understand it. You'll never understand it. I'll tell you this now. There are some things you'll never understand about God, about the Bible, and about religion. I cannot understand how a black cow can eat green grass and produce white milk and yellow butter. I cannot understand color television. I cannot understand those satellites way out in space shooting down signals to us. Now, how do you go about proving a mother's love in a laboratory? Nicodemus could see only the physical and the material, but Jesus was speaking about the spiritual. You see, you've been born once physically, but you need to be spiritually born. Born into the family of God. That's what he's talking about. You can be born into God's family tonight, right now. And Nicodemus was asking those questions. And how are you born? Jesus used the wind as an analogy. He said, the wind comes. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. You can't see it. All you do is see the effects of it. There's a mystery to it. But there are some things we do know. You cannot inherit the new birth, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, says John. And you cannot get it by works, not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You can't work for it. You can't buy it. It's not being reformed. All our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. You can be reformed like the pig, but that doesn't do any good because your heart hasn't been changed. You can't imitate Jesus. Many people try to imitate him. There was a book written many years ago called In His Steps. I can't walk in his steps. I don't have any spiritual strength to do it. I can't imitate him. We had some people in Oklahoma or in the Midwest of America several years ago, and they were having the play in New York that was so famous, My Fair Lady, with Rex Harrison. And they told everybody, we're going to see that play in New York and see Rex Harrison. So they went to New York, and when they got there, they found it was sold out for 3 months. They couldn't get tickets. So they wondered how they were going to face their friends when they got home. So they stood around in front of the theater, and when people came out, they saw that people were tearing their tickets up and dropping them down, so they picked up some tickets. And then they went over and they bought one of the books they sell to tell all about My Fair Lady. And they went home singing, I could have danced all night on the street where she lives, and some of the tunes from My Fair Lady. And everybody thought they had been to see My Fair Lady. Now everything was fine, except they hadn't seen it. And that's the way with some of you. You can sing the hymns, you can read the scriptures, you believe in God with your mind, but deep in your heart, you haven't really met Christ. You really don't know Him. Now, to be born again means that you're born into God's family. A new family, a new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, said Ezekiel. In Romans, Paul speaks of it as being alive from the dead. In 2 Corinthians, he calls it being a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Peter, he says, being partakers of the divine nature. John calls it passing from death unto life. Whatever name you give it, call it conversion, call it the new birth, call it rededication, call it whatever name you want to give it. Just so it happens to you. So that God can say, your sins are forgiven. I give you eternal life. The new birth brings about a change of heart. And that influences our thinking. And that influences our way of living. And it influences our attitudes as well as our actions. It determines our destiny. Well, you say, what do you have to do to get this new birth? Well, the scripture tells us. First of all, there must be the reception of the Word of God. You see, it's very much like natural birth. There's conception and 9 months of gestation and then birth. Now, the conception part of it is when we receive the Word of God. You're hearing the Word of God proclaimed tonight, all right? You're hearing it. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, says the Scripture. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Think of it. Foolish. It's foolish to think that I can stand here with this book and quote Scripture to you, and it can change your life. Sounds foolish, doesn't it? God calls it foolishness. But that's the way He's chosen. And then there's the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts you. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And then the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now when you leave here tonight, you won't leave alone. Christ goes with you through the Holy Spirit to help you to live the Christian life. I can't live a Christian life. It's impossible. There's no way I can live the Christian life. But the Holy Spirit living within me can live it through me. He can make me love people that I normally would not love. He can make me do good works in areas that I normally would not. He can give me a concern and a burden for those people in Africa that are starving. He can give me a burden and a motivation about doing something about helping to bring peace to the world. He can help me to be burdened and concerned to do what little bit I can with people that are unemployed. He can help me to love that crippled person that lives next to me, or that person of another race that I work with. The Holy Spirit comes to live within to give you a new power to transform you. He can help you give up those things that are wrong in your life. The professor at the university here, or the clergyman here, that may not be sure of his relationship to Christ, has to become a little child and come in simplicity, in simple faith to Jesus, and say, "Lord, come into my heart. I'm a sinner and I'm sorry. I come to your cross," because you see, Christ died on the cross. Because the next story that Jesus told was about a serpent of brass. That's an insult to the intelligence too, because all these serpents had come out and bitten the children of Israel, and God told them to build a serpent of brass, and anybody that looked at that serpent, just looked at it, would be healed. How foolish! There's no healing quality in brass, but God said it. They didn't rub the medicine on their sores, and they didn't fight the serpents. They didn't look at Moses. They just had to look at the serpent by faith, and beyond the serpent to God. And the ones that did that were healed, and those that didn't were not healed. Simple, foolish, ridiculous. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, the scripture says. And what I'm going to ask you to do in just a moment looks foolish. I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat in just a moment. Because you see, that serpent of brass actually stood for the cross. It was a symbol of the cross being lifted up. Christ died on the cross for you. You say, "Well, what do I have to do?" First, you must be willing to repent of sin. That means that you say to God, "I am a sinner. I'm sorry. I'm willing to let you come into my heart and change my way of living." The second thing, you must receive him by faith, something that even looks foolish. Thirdly, you must be willing to follow him and serve him and live for him from this moment on. Willing, I said, you may not be able to do it by yourself, just like I can't. But he'll help you if you're willing.